Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus on this third Sunday of Advent when we gather to receive with joy the loving God who comes to us in so many ways as we gather to receive this joy of Emmanuel, God with us. By our worship, may you know the joy that comes from extravagant welcome and affirming acceptance and loving kindness. We extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live streaming or our recorded worship. We know that time and distance is separating us, and yet we also know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are, or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements we want to share with you this morning. I want to thank our worship leaders this morning for sharing their gifts of word and song and also technical expertise. And so we thank Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury, the Matera Utley family, Judy Dixon, Sarah Lynn Keller, and Wayne Zaretter. And we also thank Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise that makes this broadcast possible. We also want to invite you to a time early on in our service of sharing in the lighting of an Advent candle or candles. We are in the third Sunday of Advent. We invite you to have three candles. We'll be relighting the first two and, of course, lighting a third. And so we invite you to do that and have those ready to go just following the time of announcements this morning. During our worship, we'll be sharing celebrations and concerns that have been lifted up in the days before worship, but also this morning. And so you'll find many of those in our worship bulletin. So we invite you to look at those. But also, if you'd like to send a prayer celebration or concern to be shared during our worship, you can do so by emailing us now at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. This will allow us to incorporate them into worship if we receive them by the time of the reflection. We also, as usual, have a time of post-worship fellowship following our worship today. And so we invite you to be a part of that. We do this by Zoom video conferencing, and you'll find a link to that special time of post-worship fellowship in the church's weekly link emailings, also on the church's website. So we invite you to find those links and to join us for a time together. Sarah Lynn, I know you have several announcements this morning about things that are happening during the season.
I do. Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, this is a busy time of year, and there are a lot of different ways that you can be engaged with us, and we hope that you will do that. The first thing we're going to ask you to do is to take a photograph of yourself holding a candle and then send it to admin@firstchurchnatick.org so that we can share these photographs during our Christmas Eve service at that time, that special time of the singing of Silent Night. when normally we would be passing the light in our sanctuary, but we want to share that sense of community and know that we are all in the light together at that moment. So please take a photograph and send it to admin@firstchurchnatick.org. And also, I want to say that we are going to be delivering poinsettias, these beautiful, beautiful flowers, to our homebound members. We are going to be delivering 20 poinsettias this year, and I ask that if you would like to make a donation to remember a loved one or celebrate a blessing, you may do that by sending those things. There are some Google forms on our website, and you can find those links in our link email, or you can contact our administrator, Peg, to do that. And I'm also seeking people to deliver poinsettias. So if you are willing and able to do that, you can contact either Peg at admin, or you can contact me at SarahLynn@firstchurchnatick.org. Either one will do. Thank you. And then this evening at 7 p.m., the annual vigil to remember lives lost to substance use disorder is happening in a virtual format on Zoom. We invite you to join in that. Normally, it would be in our beautiful sanctuary at this time of year, but we're going to be doing that virtually, and we invite you to join in on that. You can find that link, also that Zoom link, in our link email, and we invite you to do that. Our Advent Giving Tree this year is providing gift cards to folks through the Metro West Immigrant Solidarity Network, and we invite you, if you're able, to make donations towards this valuable and wonderful gift, to provide gift cards to folks who are really facing a difficult time right now. At this point, many of them are facing evictions because the moratorium is being lifted, and the gift cards give them the most flexibility to provide for their families exactly what they need. So you can make those gift donations through our church office on our website, or contact the admin@firstchurchnatick.org. And this afternoon at 4 p.m., we will be lighting the third Advent candle in our beautiful outdoor Advent wreath. So you can join us then at 4 p.m. for that service. It's very short, but lovely to see one another. And also, we have started our flamingo games. I hope that some of you have noticed some flamingos around town. They're wayward flamingos all over the place. If you want to play this game, you can find the games on the link email and on our website. And so there's a word scramble, there's you can match where the flamingos are with their hosts, and it's really unlimited flamingo fun. We hope that you will join in on the game. And I think that's, oh no, there's a few more. We also have our Midweek Connection and Prayer on Wednesday at noon. We would love to have you join us for that. It's a short gathering. And also the last Advent Prayer Circle will be happening on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Please join Linda Champion and a small group of people gathering for readings and a time of centering prayer. And also, just a reminder that Jonathan is available for your pastoral care needs during the week. You can contact him at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. Thank you. Oh, wrong way.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. So many things to share with us this day, so many things happening during this season. And one of the things that we've been very pleased to have is the participation of some families in lighting our Advent candles and the Advent wreath located in our church sanctuary. And so we welcome today the Matera Utley family, who will be leading us in the lighting of the third Advent candle previously recorded in our church's sanctuary.
As we gather around the Advent wreath today, we worship God with joy in our hearts as we are reminded of the words the angel said on the first Christmas day. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
We light these candles to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. we relight the first Advent calendar candle to remind us that Jesus' coming brought hope into a dark world. We relight the second Advent candle to remind us of the peace of God present to us in Jesus. As we light the third candle, its color rose reminds us of the message of joy which came to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace.
Please join us in praying our unison prayer. Holy One, we thank you for the glimpses we catch of your gift of the depths of joy. Even in the midst of fear, of challenge, of struggle, even when we are not sure of your presence, ignite the flame of joy within us, that we might glow with its brilliance from the inside out. Amen.
As we journey deeper into Lent, well, we don't journey deeper into Lent now. We journey deeper into the season of Advent. And there are connections between the season of Advent and the season of Lent. Those connections in particular are the expectancy, the hope and expectancy that comes. And they are also seasons of preparation. But we are indeed in Advent. And so as we journey deeper into Advent, we hear Isaiah's word to his people, and that word is the word rejoice. And yet in his time, his people had little reason to rejoice. They were exiled, they were oppressed, they were downcast, and they wondered where God was in their suffering. And don't we wonder too, sometimes, in our own anxiety, in our grief, in our fear, in our suffering, we long to hear the promise that a reason for joyful praise is the good news on the way. In the loneliness of fear, the invisibility of the next step, the yearning for presence. Holy One, help us face the silence of unknowing and embrace it as the pregnant pause before joyful new beginnings.
Good morning. As we sing our Advent response royal song, I will sing it through one time, and then I invite you to sing with me on the second time through.
I believe in God.
Good morning. Please join us in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy One, with you, each moment of life is full of wonder and surprise. Make us watchful as we await the coming of Christ. May we not be found sleeping, but awake and rejoicing in your newness of life. Come, reign among us in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might know joy. Amen.
Keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ by reaching out your hands in a gesture of blessing, placing your hands perhaps over your heart with the intention of opening yourself to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with your peace, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow that conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We come to a time now of sharing our offerings of self and substance. As we know, we're not passing an offering plate during this time, but we are people yet who are sharing the gifts that we have been given by a loving God in many, many ways in the world. One of the ways that we do that is through the mission and ministry of this particular church. And so though we are not passing an offering plate, we hope that you will remain a generous financial contributor to this church. You can do that by mailing a check to the church office. You can also make an online gift through our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Let us rejoice now in what we have been given and in what is ours to give as we receive this morning's offer.
Thank you.
Please join me in our prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, we rejoice in you as we lift up these offerings. Your generous provision for our needs prompts us to be generous in return. Accomplish your purposes, we pray, through this money and in our lives, that all might know the joy that comes from your arrival in the world. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here we are, smack in the middle of the season of joy, and on our TVs, on our radios, in our streaming services, on the internet, and coming to us in the mail are images. We are practically assaulted by images of what this joyful holiday ought to be like, what it ought to look like. Images of perfectly decorated homes, of course, and sparkling trees and piles of presents and overflowing tables and surrounded by family and friends and the fire crackling in the fireplace and even pandemic or no pandemic carolers out merrily in the streets and around people's homes. Images and music too, because there is singing. Good Christians all rejoice, joyful all ye nations arise. Now you hear of endless bliss, joy to the world. All this talk of joy, but I often wonder, despite the talk, despite the song, how many of us are really feeling it? More to the point, I wonder if, especially at Christmas, people might not see the gulf between the way their lives are and the way they wish they were. Some folks may be getting their perfect Christmas, but for many, the holidays may be spent alone, perhaps grieving loved ones or caring for them because they are ill, maybe coping with things like job loss and the uncertainty of being able to feed the family well, let alone buying the ideal Christmas and getting all those shiny things to help us somehow manufacture joy. And this year, as the pandemic continues and cases and deaths rise, joy may be a bit thin on the ground, with none of us getting the Christmas that we really crave the most. Of course, we could just, turn on our happy lights. Our happy lights, you know, those high-intensity lamps for treating seasonal affective disorder, SAD. Scientists say that SAD, affecting perhaps 20% of us, is the result of shifted circadian rhythms. When our internal body clock shifts, the wrong hormones are produced at just the wrong time of day, creating fatigue and anxiety and irritability and weight gain and withdrawal and lethargy and a host of other things. And so light therapy involving intense artificial light can help to normalize circadian rhythms. suppressing the secretion of the nighttime hormone melatonin and enhancing the effectiveness of the neurotransmitter serotonin. The Happy Lights claim is that 30 minutes a day during the dark months will banish our blues. Their tagline is, "Your happiness is our priority." Just flick the switch and feel happy. Or not. If only our troubles were so simply solved by the flip of a switch. Now, I've never been diagnosed with SAD, but a few years ago, I did get one of these light boxes, and I actually use one. I use one in the fall as the natural light diminishes, and I want to say that I have actually felt some lift from the use of the light box and that seasonal downward tug that I might be feeling. But the fact is, it can't really make anyone happy, let alone joyful, because it doesn't get at the source of our unhappiness. And though the culture wouldn't have us admit it with all its efforts to sell us things, to try to fend it off, it's natural that we might be feeling sadness, at least at times, and certainly in this season when we're supposed to be feeling joy. And even 24/7 use of my happy light isn't going to remove some of the fundamental sadness that is there. For example, when I think of that video footage of a white police officer kneeling on the neck of George Floyd while he pled for his life, when I remember Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, and the endless line of Black women and men murdered before and murdered since, or of the queer and trans people who've been the victims of violence and murder because of who they loved or how they embrace their gender identities or no specific gender. That is why when I hear the scriptures for Advent on this Sunday, I am left wondering, especially about Isaiah's exhortation to shout aloud and sing for joy. Remember, he was speaking to people who were themselves oppressed by foreign conquerors. These downtrodden, dispirited people were supposed to rejoice. I imagine his reception then was about what his reception today would be like. And during Advent, with the shortest day of the year at hand, can't all those ads and cards and carols telling us to be joyful seem a little forced? Especially when we may feel that we are living in a kind of exile brought on by the corrosive, cumulative effects of political divisions and xenophobia, of mass shootings, the presence of illness and poverty and hunger. If we can't just switch on happiness, how can we possibly switch on joy? Joy, of all things, is something that absolutely cannot be forced. It's spontaneous. It's uncontainable. It's overflowing happiness to the nth degree, prompting us to feel something because it is unexpected, something that gladdens or delights us, that fills us with awe or fills us with wonder. Like seeing the aurora borealis. You know, I was excited to learn that conditions last week might have allowed us to see it here in Massachusetts. What a promise that was. And alas, the geomagnetic storm that was predicted didn't materialize in our part of the world the way that scientists thought. And that was a letdown for me, let me tell you. because I am never going to forget the first time that I saw the Aurora Borealis. It was absolutely amazing. Intense pinks and reds tinged with green, streaking across the entire night sky. I had been caught up in getting the kids fed and bathed and pajamaed and into bed and grumbling that I was left to do that all by myself, you know, at the end of a long day because my wife had to work that night. But in the midst of these routines, a call from one of my daughter's friends sent us running outdoors to see a fantastic display. There, in day's end dullness, joy sprang forth. As I try to square Isaiah's joy talk with his people's despair, I am reminded of the aurora. After all, Isaiah said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And so the key, I think, is to remember that when he says, "Shout aloud and sing for joy, O Zion," he qualifies this with, "For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Despite the darkness of exile, Isaiah felt God's luminous presence. And so he called on his people to recognize it as well. When he says rejoice, it's Isaiah's expectation of how the people will respond when they are aware of that presence too. When my daughter's friend shared her joy with us, we called others to pass on the joyful news about the aurora. And so too, Isaiah wanted to share his experience of God with his people and get them aligned with the light. But that wasn't such a new idea, really, not even in Isaiah's time. 2,000 years before Isaiah, Celtic people devoted thousands of work hours to such luminous alignment. Take the vast artificial mound at Newgrange, Ireland, 250 feet in diameter, 40 feet tall. It's constructed with elaborate precision for a structure that was made in 3000 BC. Oriented precisely toward the rising of the sun at the winter solstice. On that morning, a shaft of light shines down a 60-foot-long tunnel, illuminating the innermost wall, bearing a spiral design in stone, thought to represent the unfurling of life. At the year's turning, the shortest day, when the darkness threatens to overtake all things, the sun casts its brilliance deep inside the earth to illuminate the return of life coming in the spring. So scientists don't know exactly what such winter solstice observance might have elicited in its participants. And though I've not been to Newgrange, I have been inside its smaller cousin on the Isle of Orkney, Scotland, and I can't help but think that it is joy. Joy. There at Maze Howe, down its 36-foot-long narrow stone passage facing east, and deep in its dark interior, I can imagine the marvel of the sun keeping an annual appointment, hearts gladdened with the promise that single beam cast, the exuberant experience of the arrival of light. Today, these ancient aligned sites remind us of the primal importance of light as the very energy of life itself. Thousands of years after their construction, the few who are lucky enough to reserve a place at the solstice within these aligned mounds, done by lottery, I'm told, can still witness the marvel of the sun's rebirth. And though webcams now bring it to the rest of us via the internet, I can't believe that it is quite the same experience. And yet, a webcam's attempt to bring us the solstice at New Grange is not unlike Advent's purpose. Advent isn't about saccharine talk of hope and peace and love and joy. No, Advent concerns our own experience of waiting for the light to shine forth in the darkness that we all know too well. As a church season, it is designed to put us in the mound where we may feel ourselves to be at times, naturally, in the same watchful expectancy, hoping God's light will continue to reach us in our dark places. It's still a challenge to hear, I think, the prophet's words urging us to acknowledge the presence of Emmanuel, God with us, that the light of God is perpetually coming to us, and then to rejoice. It's a challenge, I think. We can't get those images of the murdered and the grieving out of our heads, nor can we escape the sickening feeling that those victims are somebody's children, and that those children could be our own children. Just turning on our happy lights is not going to do it. Nor will ramping up our Christmas traditions and festivities, nor denying the terrible fact of heart-wrenching, hate-filled deeds committed across America and in the world. No, there is nothing that the prophets, let alone the advertisers or Hollywood or this preacher can say to prompt our joy. But like our New Grange forebearers, we can create the conditions from which our joy can spring in time, preparing to experience this light by being aligned with and focused on and receptive to God's presence. For during Advent, the promise is that so aligned, we who live in dark lands will know that the light shines on and for and with us. And by receiving such light, help us to bring this light to all others who even now walk in beshadowed valleys and benighted exile. May we seek to so align ourselves, beloved, that we might be met in all our longest nights with the coming dawn of the one who is for us Emmanuel. And that our way forward in eradicating the causes of such social viruses as racism and white supremacy might be illumined. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time now of sharing together the celebrations and concerns, the joys and the difficulties of our lives. That's what being the church together is, in part, lifting those realities of our life up and to share them with one another and to bring them before our God. And so we do that now. Many of those concerns or celebrations have been listed in our church's bulletin, and so we invite you to take a look at that. I want to extend a particular thanks this day. I want to celebrate the 30 or so young people, children and youth and their families who are giving us a wonderful gift this year. And that gift is a Christmas pageant. We have been yearning to see more children in the life of this church, and in particular in worship. And so we're going to get that chance next Sunday during our Christmas pageant, a Christmas broadcast that is going to be shared during our worship service next Sunday. So we hope that you will be on hand to receive that special gift. And we give thanks this day for their life among us, even when we don't see them. And I also would lift up on this day the great sadness and challenge that we've all been experiencing, and that we can't forget, which is the ongoing pandemic. And for example, the fact that this week we experienced the highest one-day mortality in the U.S. And so we don't forget. We remember what's happening in our midst. We lift up the lives of those who have been affected by death, by illness, and by all the other ancillary effects of the pandemic. So we keep them in our prayers. I now turn to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about other prayer celebrations or concerns that have been shared with us before our worship or during our worship this day. Wayne.
Good morning. Prayers of healing go out to Mikhail Rosendahl, who sprained her ankle this week and is stuck on crutches for the next week or two. Thoughts and prayers go out to Amy Foley's uncle, Jason Mondale, whose sickness is overcoming him. He is home with his wife, having peaceful moments. Prayers for continued healing for the Porter family. Diana, Tim, and Benji are all recovering from their bout with COVID-19. We pray for the Cruz family and all those facing illegal evictions and food insecurity. Lastly, prayers for continuing strength for our healthcare workers and other essential workers during these chilly winter days. May they know that they are surrounded by love and gratitude.
Thank you, Wayne. I invite us now to be in prayer together as a worshiping community. Let us do so now. Let us pray. Loving God, giver of all things, you've given us so much about which to be joyful. And today we recall the joy we have because you chose to come into our world in human form to teach us ways of peace and justice, to model righteous and loving ways of being with one another, and at times to deliver us from ourselves. This is what our Christmas celebrating is all about. At times it is glitzy, or it is gaudy, or sentimental, but underneath it all is an honest joy in you that we are struggling sometimes to feel and also to express. And so, eternal source of birth and new life, we ask you to help us to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. Open ourselves to the Spirit of the living Christ in our midst. Help us to see with the eyes that Jesus saw the ones who were most vulnerable, the ones who were living in shadows, the ones who were left behind, the ones who were forgotten, the ones without a voice, the ones who were crushed under the heel of the powerful. May we know what it is like to be recognized as the children of God who we are, and may we so live that all those we encounter know themselves to be children of the living God. Knowing that this begins with how we relate to ourselves, we ask you to lift up the hidden parts of ourselves sometimes the talents and the visions, the maybe the tenderness, so that your love may be seen and your glory revealed among us. As the season unfolds, help us, like Mary, your servant, to rejoice in your surprising love in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of worry, in the midst of challenge, in the midst of not knowing the future, and to give of ourselves so that the world might know that love and itself be glad. We pray these things, Holy One, in the name of your Son, the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. For your God comes, powerful to save. People of God, go out in joy, bearing good tidings of great joy in your hearts. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.